the digital version of Africa Geographic magazine, I read this story, which interested and depressed me. They are finishing the trees. Chinese companies and Namibian elites making millions illegally logging rose woods. The story was written by John Grobler, who is a veteran investigative reporter based in Windhoek and on the line to us now. Hello, John.
Hello, John. It sounds a little strange. Hello, John. Hello, everyone.
How bad is it, John?
Well, you know, I spent approximately a total of 6 weeks on this assignment, and you know, all the time up there, I never saw a single rosewood tree thicker than, you know, my, you know, two fists put together. So there's nothing, you know, older than, you know, 50 years left. They've basically ripped out, you know, the last of the eyes of that once magnificent forest. You know, it's not to say that all the trees are gone. There's still, of course, loads, millions of trees. But the rosewood, which was the critically, well, it was the endangered species, is now the critically endangered species there.
So it's only the rosewoods that are being logged in this way?
Yes, they have been, well, they've gone for a bit of the teak as well, but the focus has been on the rosewood. That's the one that is, you know, wanted most for the Hongmu furniture in China, and that's the one that, you know, they mostly speculate with.
And this is illegal, just to establish that as a fact.
Well, you know, in this case, it depends on the eyes of the license holder. I mean, the licenses were all basically issued without any environmental impact assessment or any of the measures put in place by the Forest Management Act of 2001 and the regulations. So they kind of got around this by giving every individual the permits issued under own use precedent. So basically they suggest own use is actually if you are on a kraal or on communal land somewhere and you want to go and chop down a few logs to reinforce your kraal or something like that, it's certainly not intended for the commercial purpose to which it was then exploited. So the legal is staying, you know, within the broadest, you know, of the law, but they basically circumvented every, you know, loophole there is, and the devastation is just, you know, heartbreaking to see.
And the responsibility for this of senior SWAPO leaders, Namibian government people, and the Chinese, that is established beyond doubt in your view?
Oh, absolutely. There is very little doubt about that. There's been sort of an alignment of interest, you know, within the SWAPO party and, let's say, the, you know, more predatory in the Chinese business community to just try and make as much money as they can for themselves. So all the farms and the areas where this has been done, where logging has been happening, are basically, as you know from the article, land that was allocated for free to all those 500-odd individuals who, you know, mostly are actually employed either by the state or have their own business. They're not the landless people. The greater unseen tragedy behind this is that this is all land that used to belong to the sun, and they've been pushed, you know, off this completely. Now they are gone. They're just, you know, in one little pocket around Tsumkwe, basically. So it's sort of an alignment of commercial interest and political interest, the usual patronage system that's now running through this area like a juggernaut and mowing down what is in front of it. It's also, of course, where the fracking is taking place at the moment.
Well, the investigation to see whether fracking is possible, which is something that we must talk about on another day. I mean, I don't have experience of this in northeastern Namibia, but I do have experience of it through wide swathes of the Congo Basin, where I have spent quite a lot of time. And there, the local people, whether they're the Bayaka pygmy or the Sanga people, they are squeezed out. They lose the use of the forest, which they historically, traditionally have had, because the forest is being cleared. They get no benefit from that whatsoever. And, of course, there is a global environmental impact of what is happening in the Amazon and in the Congo Basin. So what are the locals saying first, and what are environmentalists saying about what environmental impact there might be through the decimation of the rosewood parts of those forests?
Well, you know, to me, it seems that they're now basically taking what they can in terms of value, what's left of value, because it's not just that. They also want to catch out the last 100 elephant that are kind of moving, you know, through that same Kavango East region. There's a tender out for their capture, as well as another from, you know, the northwest Kunene region. So, yeah, I mean, it's literally, you know, anything that's not nailed down to the deck is now being sold off to whoever comes, you know, through the front door or back door with a bag of cash, a bit like your service station problem.
John Frobler, veteran investigative journalist based in Windhoek. Thanks for talking to us. That story is on the digital version of Africa Geographic.